pray together, shall we? Just bow your heads, and if you want to hold the person's hand who's next to you, I'm going to have you pray for each other this morning as well. The words that we have sung are all to you, Christ. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you for saving us. I thank you for coming and rescuing us. And then the journey that we get to walk with you because of our salvation is awesome in every way, even through the trials and the struggles and the things that we wrestle with. Pray this morning, Father, you'll renew our faith, you'll strengthen us, you'll cause us to put our hope and our trust and to turn our eyes towards Jesus alone. Forgive us for the times that we try to do it on our own or try to rely on our giftedness, our own strength to do things. And so, Father, we need you, and we claim that this morning. And as well, we pray for each other this morning. We pray for the hands of the people that we hold this morning. For our homes, for our children, even our grandchildren. So, Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in us, and I pray that you'll use us mighty for your glory today. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Am I on now? Should I just stay here? Okay, I'm going to have to grab some notes. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn your Bibles or your devices and turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 is where we're going to be this morning. And I realize that I'm going to be preaching from a very familiar text today, and I hope that's okay. And I know Grace Baptist, and I know the great teachers that you have here, so I think I'd be better suited not trying to bring something new to you, but instead let's just go back to the bedrock of missions and what Christ has called us to and our ministry together. And because I don't do this very often here, I forgot my remote as well. So Nancy's just sitting there, keeps saying, did I forget anything else before I go back up there? Okay. All right. And just a special thanks to Pastor Craig and the elders here. And even as you were praying this morning, you prayed as a pastor who's connected. I listened very carefully to how you prayed and the things that you prayed for. And Pastor Craig has been a great resource to me on the field. And I think you should know, as one of your missionaries, that we see ourselves as an extension of you in another part of the world. I really consider myself to be part of the staff here at Grace. And although I don't have to sit through the staff meetings, I get to do the great things that they're doing here. And so we're really grateful for that and appreciative. I brought a few pictures along with me. This is basically our ministry and what we're doing. Those are the components. We won't go through those today, but those are the four things that Nancy anchor our ministries on, and all centered around making disciples. And I brought some prayer cards along with this. When you get to our age and your children have moved on from your ministry, you have to do a retro card because it's just boring with the two of us on there. So next year we'll be celebrating 20 years of ministry together as a family. So the kids allowed me. I got permission from all of the girls to do this. And so I got that picture there, some of those in the rack there that you can pick up. And then there's some details on the back that you can reach us. That's what it looked like when we arrived in South Africa. We came to you in the late 90s, believe it or not, and asked you to partner with us to do the ministry in South Africa. And so having just packed up our four girls, if you're new to the Wolf family, we lived in Columbus, Ohio, called out of a business career and back to Bible school and then back to just learning how to do church life and cross-culture ministry. And so we arrived there and a part of that. And so the girls are all grown up now and as beautiful as ever. They take after their mother. And so two of the girls have married South Africans. And so two of the children live here in America and two of our children live in South Africa. And so we're kind of all over the place. And you know this family here? That's what their picture looked like when they arrived. And thank you to the Grace family for your investment in our children. I promise you the last thing I ever thought possible is you'd end up on the mission field and then your kids would return to the place where they grew up. to do ministry. And I kid you not, we tried to talk them out of it, okay, because I didn't want them coming just to be close to their parents or close to something that they're comfortable with, but to be really stretched and challenged in world missions. And God led them back, and we're grateful for that. And so there they are now. They've had this little boy since they were with you. And so that place is crazy at their house. When we go there, it's like, wow, this is crazy. I forgot what it was like to raise four kids. And but they're doing a great job. And I can tell you, as a Grace family, you should be so proud of them. So proud of them. They're working hard, have adapted well, and are doing a great job in the new church plant that Pastor Greg prayed about. So I'll show you a couple more pictures as we go through the message. You got your Bibles open there to Matthew 28. I'll put some of these on the screen for us. And again, it's a familiar passage, but I hope it becomes unfamiliar this morning. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Today I want to talk about what that's like, because if you think about the task before us and you think about our partnership as church and as missionary and one of your pastors dispatched to another part of the world, the whole responsibility and hugeness of the Great Commission just, I think, is incredibly overwhelming. And when you think about Jesus then gathering these disciples together, and he gives this command to them that you all know, this was daunting to them. And so when we read the scriptures and it says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, no doubt, because now this is the resurrected Christ who's about to descend. Matthew gives us as his last words for Christ and his command to us. And it says that some of them, at least the 11 that were gathered around, Judas is off of the scene, having taken his own life, and then Jesus gives this command. And so we at ABWE, you may know through the story of Hope, we think this is what it looked like, as best we can tell. And so as Jesus looked into their eyes, as Jesus begins to give this command, it says in the scripture that some of them doubted. And I hope you won't think less of me, but because of the hugeness of what it is he's called us to, I doubt as well how in the world we're possibly going to do this. As you know, there are 7 billion people on the earth today. There are at least, depending on how you count them, there are at least 16,000 people groups scattered amongst the 7 billion. There are closed countries. There are limited access countries. There are wide open countries. It's just massive, the whole task that Christ has called us to. So when they said they doubted, I feel like I can relate to that doubt and what that must have felt like. But doubt isn't maybe sometimes the way that we think of doubt. This word doubt is only used in one other place in the New Testament, and it's in previously in Matthew's gospel in chapter 14. And the scene is that Jesus is walking on water and he's coming towards the boat. And remember the story that Peter gets out of the boat and he begins to walk towards Jesus. And then he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to sink into the water. And Jesus said to him, Peter, and paraphrasing this, Peter uses this exact word though, Peter, why do you doubt? Or we could say, Peter, why are you hesitating? Why aren't you believing? Why don't you have faith? Why aren't you in fullness of who I am and what I can do? And when I call you to something, even to walk on water, that you'll stay with it, you'll stick with it. I can do this through you. And the disciples doubted then, and Peter doubted then, or was hesitant about what it is that Christ was going to do through him. So let's unpack these verses, and I trust in a fresh and a new way that has been helpful to me to engage in this passage of Scripture. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now let's look at this in four parts, and what I want to do is I just want to take all of the alls out of this passage of Scripture and use it as like a four-point outline. So I'm going to make 4 points, 4 applications, and then I want to challenge us in an area that what Christ has called us to, we can do. I really believe in all of my heart, I've committed my life to the fact that I really believe that we can do what Christ has called us to. And you're evidence of that. You're evidence of a church who's captured the heart of Christ to reach the nations. And even as Pastor Craig prayed this morning, even in troubled parts of the earth where it seems impossible that we could make any penetration and to reach people, not only those who have never heard the gospel, but those that aren't engaged in the gospel. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't even know how to even process the representation of the gospel as we share it. So let's look at the first of that, and let's look at the first, and let's just look at verse 18. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority. Now this is a great place, because in the Great Commission, he bookmarks it with an incredible statement at the beginning, an incredible statement at the end, and in the middle is like 5 things that he wants us to do. And here's the first. All authority has been granted to Jesus Christ to give the command that he's about ready to give to all of us. So this isn't just something that just someone said. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and then he's going to give the command of what it is. So when we think about the task and the responsibility of carrying out the Great Commission, this comes on the basis of Jesus Christ saying, this is what I want you to do. And I'm asking you to do this based on my authority. So as followers of Christ, as disciples of Christ, could there have been any more authority, or in some of your Bibles, the translation is power. All power is given unto me. Jesus possessed it. And Jesus gives it to us, not that we would go on our own strength, but that we would go in his power and his might based on that authority. So when you're in your mid-30s and you come out of a business career with not much education and most of it learned while you're going, when you stand up in front of a group of people and you say, take your Bibles and open to this passage of Scripture, I feel like I have the full authority of Christ to proclaim that passage. And if you could simply not look at some little clever technique or is he a good communicator, but could you possibly just listen for a few minutes, because I'm going to talk about the authority of Christ through his words. That's how this was given to us. That's how it was given to us. So when I look at pictures like this, all authority is the outline there. Okay, let's just do the application. I don't know what my notes look like here. We can do this because we've been empowered by the full authority of Christ. Now, what I want us to do this morning is I'm going to make a statement with a question, and then I want you to respond with what I put on the screen, but only respond if you're not going to doubt and if you're really going to believe that we can do this. Forever long we have to try to work at this. But then you get a picture like this, and you say, how are we going to do this? And even when I put this picture on the screen, it incites all kinds of emotions and all kinds of terror and all kinds of feelings. And yet, when he gave the Great Commission, he knew about this. He said, my authority will be greater than all of those hurdles and trials and limited access and everything else that you're going to experience. When I gave this to you, this is what you're going to encounter. So we think about the opposition to the gospel. We think about religious cults. We think about a shrinking missionary force. We think about tough economic times and churches raising support to launch missionaries out. We think of the fears and the dangers of particular areas where we do ministry. And we just are sensitive to the fact that the world just doesn't even want to seem to hear the gospel or care about what it is that you and I have to say. I love this quote from Charles Stanley. Long before there was an Andy Stanley, there was a Charles somewhere in the world. And I was reading a magazine at Nancy's sister's house, and I just popped onto this page, and I thought this was really good. And if it's not really good, you got to love his sports coat anyhow, right? I mean, that's a crazy good sports coat. We live in the first generation in history that has the means to evangelize the whole world. I mean, just look at us. Look around. We are, not that the previous generations weren't doing, I don't think that's what he's saying. We're just the best equipped right now to do that. So when Christ gives the command, I say we can do this. And so it poses the question here, and the question we're going to ask this morning now, and I need you to respond to this, is can we do this? And then you respond with, can we do this? We can do this. We can do this based on the authority of Christ. That's how we can do it. And so then he launches into them, looking at the second part of this. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of, here's our next all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we see the Trinity involved, but particularly we see the idea that I want you to reach all of the nations. All of the nations. So let's look at this and consider then what that looks like for us, because of the massiveness of the world that we minister in, like all nations? Like, couldn't we go just to the easy nations, or do we go to the difficult nations? So that word there, go, you know at the beginning of that is while you are going. So it doesn't just relate to Tom and Nancy or other missionaries you have that go do this. We all do this. This is a part of our makeup. This is a part of our DNA. This is who we are as disciples of Christ, that we take the great commandment with us and we do that. And then sometimes we launch people to other part of the world to reach all nations. So all nations isn't listing countries like Spain and Australia and Iran, and just it's listing people groups. It's listing nationalities. These are the faces of the people that we need to go and reach and share the gospel with. And so his desire is that we would reach all the nations, as big as that is. And then in essence, what we would do is that when we get to those nations and you unpack your container and you arrive, in essence, what we're saying is, what I want you to understand and what I want you to come to believe is, I want you to believe the gospel. I want you to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that Jesus was buried, and as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, and then Jesus was resurrected, he was seen. That's the gospel. So the idea is that I want to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ, and as a result of that, my desire is that you would no longer worship yourself, but you would now become a follower of Jesus Christ, and you would worship him. That you wouldn't worship some other cult, some other god. You would worship the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. So when you go to the nations, what I want you to do is, that's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to tell them, to go to all the nations and make that possible. So as we consider this then, let's look at the application. We can do this because Jesus is counting on us to reach all people groups in every part of the world. I read this passage of Scripture this morning as if Jesus Christ is here right now saying it. This isn't what Jesus Christ would say if he were here. This is what Jesus Christ says because he is here. I think it was Howard Hendricks where I first heard that. This is the literal word of Christ speaking into the hearts of his people about how to reach the nations, how to reach people that he created, that he loves, and that he desires to have come to faith in him. So when you think about that for us, and you think about reaching the nations, we're in the very tip of that into South Africa, as you know. And part of the ministry that God's given us is to try to reach even more countries in Southern Africa. And so one of the opportunities that we've taken to do that then is to team with Brazilians who speak Portuguese to try to reach the country of Mozambique. And so we're working on a strategy right now to do that. We just returned from Mozambique just prior to coming back to the States for a couple of months, and we're working now about how to reach that country. And as we've been discovering, the northern part of Mozambique has unreached people groups. I didn't know that until we did our survey. To my own embarrassment, I went back to Cape Town. I went back to our churches, and I was speaking there, and I thought, who better to reach northern Mozambique than us? We can do this. We can reach the country of Mozambique and an unreached people group. And if there are 6,500 unreached people groups, what if we just pick one and we say, okay, we're going to go after the one. We're going to reach that one people group. So, well, you're crazy, Tom. In northern Mozambique, it's a Muslim country. It's literally closed. 98% of the country is Muslims. It's malaria infested. Why would you go there? Because based on the authority of Christ and based on the charge to reach the nation, somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to go tell them. So as we think about this and we think about doing ministry there, this is what it was like. We went in with the Clarks, my colleague who's the regional director in Brazil, the pastor on your right is a Brazilian pastor. He has a mission agency in Brazil. I invited him to come so he could raise up missionaries. And we just met with a group of pastors and a group of pastors and a group of pastors who all said, please, 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 please come and help us. Come help us. So we think about the question, can we do this? And the response has to be what? Can we do this? We can reach. I really believe it. Grace Baptist Church, we can reach Mozambique for Christ. There are already people there. We're not going to do something new. We want to partner with people that are there to reach this country for Christ in the same way that we've been able to penetrate South Africa. We can do this. Let's look at the next all here then, because this one is probably the most overlooked. All authority, all nations, teaching them to observe, here's our word, to observe all that I've commanded of you. The most neglected word in the Great Commission is the first word in verse 20, which is teaching. At the heart of every ministry has to be a ministry of teaching, a ministry of bringing God's word to people so they can understand truth, they can pull truths out of the scripture for themselves, and they can reproduce themselves in other people to make disciples, to plant churches, to start theological schools, whatever it might be. And it's not just teaching, and I realize where I'm speaking this morning, it's not just teaching and disseminating information. That's easy to do. Disseminating information is easy. The hard part of that is teaching them to observe all. So teach them all the things that you know that they need to know so they can live on their own as a follower of Christ. And then, if that wasn't hard enough to do already, what I want you to do is teach them in such a way that they'll obey what it is that you've taught them as they follow Christ. I mean, how crazy hard is that to do? So when the disciples stood there and they say, man, I don't know, Peter. When are we going to possibly do this? I think they looked at each other like, wow, teaching them to observe all the things? It's like, so there they stand, needing to teach all the things that Christ has commanded to them. And so here's some of the ways that we're trying to do that in South Africa as we think about the application. All things. We can do this through teaching the Word of God and helping people in obedience to God. I brought some pictures along. We just finished the building project. This is the church plant that Nancy and I have been involved with. And this church has reached maturity. We fly back the end of August. We're here for 2 months on this little mini furlough. And then in September, we hand the church over to a national pastor whom I've been working with now for the last 2 years, and the church almost finished. We just completed the parking project last month, and so we now have a parking lot, and so the building is done and all set. There's Pastor Mark. He's now one of your new staff pastors here. Welcome, Pastor Mark, to the Grace family. He's pastoring one of the churches that you've planted. Maybe someday I can even bring him through. How cool would that be to have Pastor Mark come through? And so Mark is now there, and that church has reached the maturity. The building is fully paid for. Nancy and I will hand it over to them. Full go, no debt, anything, a leadership team. They're all set to go, which is allowing us then to do some other things. And then we have the ministry training center. I love talking about this at a place like Grace in Cedarville, because this is how we train people. This is how we equip leaders through the ministry training centers. You'll recognize one of the guys on there, Dr. Dave Dronger, former New Testament professor here at Cedarville University. And Dave spears this and heads this up for us. And these are the four teachers, just guys that regularly teach through our ministry training senior center, trying to teach people how to teach so they can go out and teach and grow and learn, not only in their own families, but in other ministries. So here's a quick thing on what's happening with us and the McComases then. This is where that Mountain View Church is located in Somerset West. And so about a 50-minute drive down is where the next church plant that we started a little bit before the McComases had arrived, because we were anticipating their arrival and this church starting. And so this is across the street from the church we're planting. So for us, it's really a very different kind of church. We've planted a suburban church, and now we're planting basically a township church. And so this is across the street where we meet, and this is the location of a school, a private school that we rent. Matter of fact, that's Wade's big van sitting there in front of the church that he puts all those kids in. And so that's where we're meeting now. And so I show you those pictures to say, can we do this? Can we teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded of you? And then the response has to be what? We can do this. I really believe in all of my heart we can do this. I think we can do this. And here's the fourth and the last, and then my time will be up. All authority, all nations, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded of you. And we had that bookmark on the first part about the authority. And I'm telling you, with as much passion as I can possibly generate inside my soul, the last statement that he makes in the Great Commission is unbelievable. Because as they looked at him and he looked at them and they doubted and they worshiped, what he said at the end will carry you till the end. He says this, "And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." And I love it that he just didn't say, "I'm with you to the end of the age." I'm with you always till the end of the age. We think about this verse of Scripture and we think about forward thinking. We think about in the days to come. I'm telling you, anchor your heart and your life on the fact that's right now. That's right now. That's Jesus with us right now, doing what it is that he called us to do. And so we think about all days. We could translate that all days as he's with us always. And the application is this. We can do this knowing that we're never alone and he is with us until the end. God is in us. God is for us, and God is with us. He's with us. And I have glanced and I've seen some familiar faces this morning. And I know what some of you are doing in other parts of the world or you're doing here in this community. And maybe there are some days when we get up and we really doubt whether we're going to be able to do this. And you train up young people in your church. You train up young people in your university. And when you launch them out, do you really launch them out with the fact of whatever happens to them, whatever crosses their path, whatever they encounter, Jesus is with you. So that when they land on the mission field and somebody breaks in their house for the third time now and they replace their computer twice, They can say, it's okay. Jesus is with me. We're going to make it. Or when you've labored for 7, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, and you've seen no one come to faith in Christ, and you're wondering why you're spending your life in a part of the world where it looks like it's making a difference, that you can say, Christ is with me. Christ is with me. Jesus is with us. All authority, all nations, all things, all days. Grace Baptist Church, I mean this with all sincerity, you're an amazing church. Incredibly gifted. Incredibly resourced. If I could pick a church to do the Great Commission, I pick Grace. Grace, we can do this. We can do this. And from our side, just a sincere opportunity to say thanks for investing in us as we attempt to do this. I don't know what that presentation looked like in 1998, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't any good. And somehow, you saw something and that you invested in, and faithfully, listen to this, faithfully every month, and if you don't help us, we got to come back. But every month, there's enough there. And there's enough there to continue to do what it is that Christ has called us to. Can we do this? Yeah, we can do this.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said,
"All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
So good. Jesus standing up there going like, come on, come follow me. We can do this. Based on the authority of Christ, we can do this. I got 4 minutes left. Let me challenge you on how we can do this, okay? Are you ready? Say ready. Because there's some specific things I have no doubt at all the Spirit of God has been tugging on your heart about a couple of things. Can I back that up one? I don't think I can back up with my remote. Are you able to back up upstairs? There you go. I love this statement that I just read recently. The Great Commission is too big for anyone to accomplish alone, and it's too important not to try to do together. I believe that. Partnerships and even what we're doing in our ministry with you together is a great thing. So let me give you two questions closing questions that I want you to think about, pray about as you go forward and to continue to do some of what you've been doing. The first question is what can you do? What can you do? Because maybe in your heart of hearts, you doubt just like they doubted. And then God's really prompting your heart. God's like really saying, listen to what I'm telling you. Go back to bedrock. Go back to what it is that I called you to do. You wake up tomorrow morning, you got like, okay, what am I going to do today? Jesus is like, I told you what to do. Go make a disciple. It's the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. So the question is, what are you going to do? Who are you going to reach? What are you going to teach? Who are you going to send? And then the question that we look at together then is, Pastor Craig and the elders here, is what can we do? And I'm speaking to a church that's incredibly gracious and doing a lot. But I also know that Christ's words to us when he said, to whom I've entrusted a lot, I'm gonna drain you and I'm going to pull a lot from you because I've equipped you to be one of my leaders to do this. So Grace Baptist Church, we can do this. And here's the deal. We're going to do it all the way to the end until he comes back for us. Jesus Christ is coming back. And until he comes back, this is the task, this is the responsibility, this is what we'll commit our lives to. Amen? The question is, can we do this? Yeah, stand with me if you would, please. Can we do this? Father God, thank you for the awesome privilege of the authority of Christ to commission our lives. We stand as your people, called out from a world to reach the nations. And we, before you this morning, stand in full obedience to that. Help us not to be stingy. Help us not to hold back. Help us to give and to love and to serve with everything in us. And we'll be sure to proclaim you and honor you and exalt you above all others. And it's in your awesome name that all of us pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.